Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. It was bound to happen. We received several calls from vehicle owners that have had their cars repaired at the big box body shops. They were not satisfied with the repairs. They were told by their insurance company they had no choice to who was to repair their vehicle. This is not true. Big box body shops have such a large influence in the industry, unsatisfied customers have little or no effect on the customer base. Coachmaster has been repairing vehicles in Reading since 1969. Reading is a small town. You don't exist for 55 years with unsatisfied customers. Any and every customer's repair concern is taken personally. At Coachmaster, we do whatever it takes to retain the respect and trust of our customers. We do what's right. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Incorporated.
On great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Bob Costas, legendary sportscaster, is known for his long tenure with NBC Sports. He's received 28 Emmy Awards for his work, was the primetime host of 12 Olympic Games. For 17 years, he co-hosted the Kentucky Derby, covered the U.S. Open Golf Tournament for 11 years, also hosted a talk show later with Bob Costas on NBC from 1988 until 1994. And played himself in the very underrated Chris Rock movie, Pootie Tang. He's covered just about every major sport with a style that is absolutely brilliant. He's back in the interview chair now with his long-form talk show on HBO, Back on the Record with Bob Costas. We are thrilled to have him here on the National Defense. Bob, how are you?
I'm good, and of all those credits you listed, Randy, obviously the one of which I am most proud would be Pootie Tang.
Well, yeah, undeniably. Yeah, absolutely. There were so many people in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at the cast of that movie, and it's like a who's who of comedians, and you.
Well, Chris Rock was the executive producer and also appears in it. Wanda Sykes, who's always been great,
sure,
is part of it. And long before he broke out on Curb Your Enthusiasm and other places, commercials and whatnot, J.B. Smoove is in it as well.
Right. Oh, no, it's a classic. But I've got so many questions. Where do we start? I just had a buddy of yours on the show, Joe Posnanski.
Oh, sure. Joe's great.
Yeah, we're based in Kansas City. And, of course, Joe was the longtime sports columnist at the Star,
sure,
and has a great new baseball book out. And I told Joe, all he did was just start a fight. I mean, those baseball books, they just always start a fight, don't they?
Yeah, pretty much. And he attempted to list the 100 greatest players of all time. And he certainly didn't scrimp on his research or the time he put into it.
Right.
I mean, this book is enormous.
If
Tolstoy was alive, he'd be embarrassed that he didn't put more effort into War and Peace. But the beauty of this is you can read it in little bits and pieces. I don't think anyone's going to read it from page one all the way through page 972 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you just want to read the part about Carl Yastrzemski, then that's what you do. If you just want to read the part about Cool Papa Bell, then that's what you do. And
right.
Then he also throws a curveball in there, because while most of it is 100 counting down to one, some of the time he assigns a slot on the list to correspond with either the guy's uniform number or some achievement that he's associated with.
Right.
So at first I'm thinking, how can Joe DiMaggio be as low as 56? Well,
right,
he's 56
right,
because of the 56 straight games. So we allow our friend Joe his little quirks.
Of which he has many.
Oh, yes.
So, speaking of baseball now, I think it's pretty well known at this point that you have always carried a Mickey Mantle card, right?
Yeah, from a 1958 Mickey Mantle, which represents the first time I remember getting Mickey Mantle, or any other player for that matter, out of a pack of Topps bubblegum cards. I was 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
In that era, a pack of bubblegum cards cost a nickel.
Right.
The entire box, there were 20 of them in a box, which would be on display by the cash register at the candy store or wherever you got them around New York City. So literally for a buck, you could get 100 cards because there were 5 cards in each pack along with that chalky rectangular piece of gum, which if you dropped it on the sidewalk would shatter into 100 pieces like a pane of glass. It's a wonder that any of us still had our molars after digging into one of those. So anyway, I remembered this Mickey Mantle card. It's his all-star card from that year, kind of a red background and gold stars going around, and they issued them for each player who had made the all-star team the year before. And like a zillion other kids, I collected them until I was maybe 12, 13 years old, and then they sat in a shoebox, and I stopped collecting them, even though I remained an avid baseball fan. And eventually your mom does what almost every mom did. She throws them away when you go to college. And luckily, that one Mantle card survived. And so I tucked it away, kind of just as a wink-wink kind of good luck charm thing, connection to my childhood. Never made a big deal out of it. And then Tony Kubek, who had played with Mantle in the 50s and 60s with the Yankees and was my partner in the 80s on the NBC Baseball Game of the Week, he saw it at one point, mentioned it on the game. The next thing you know, Sports Illustrated writes a short story about it because they thought it was funny in some respect. And now I'm actually obliged to have it with me almost every time I go out in public because, while it doesn't happen, I'm not saying it happens every day, it does happen from time to time that a stranger, after striking up some kind of conversation, will say, do you really have that Mantle card? And I don't want to disappoint the guy, so I have to produce it, which I do. Now, some people may wonder, how well has this card survived since 1958?
Right.
What's happened in the interim is when people find out about this, at Christmas time or on my birthday, you know, every newspaper seems to have those little boxes of people's birthdays and whatnot, and that's where I find out that I have the same birthday as Reese Witherspoon and William Shatner, for whatever that's worth. And so people have sent me duplicates of it. And I guess, and people ask me what it's worth because that's a big deal now in baseball card collecting.
Sure.
And I guess like a mint condition Mantle 1952, which is one of the Holy Grail cards, recently sold for more than $5 million.
Oh, my gosh.
But I think that even in mint condition, and that there's a difference between mint and really good condition.
Right.
I've got some cards, Mantle cards, that are in pretty good condition. It might be worth a few hundred or maybe in the low thousands. But nobody in our era collected baseball cards for any reason other than the fun of baseball and the sentimentality. It was never an investment, you know, and the ones that you had triples of or lesser players, those are the ones you put on the spoke of your bikes to, you know, when you pedaled around the neighborhood and made that cool clipping sound.
Right.
So it's a whole different deal. So when people ask about the Mantle card, to me it was all just a little joke or a little kind of connection to my childhood. That's all it was, but now it's a different deal.
Now it's your job.
People always ask me about it, as witness the fact that you just did.
Well, okay, not exactly the same, but I also have a similar habit. I carry a 1989 Bob Costas NBC announcer card.
Oh, I know that card.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I do. It's my good luck card, and as far as what it's worth, I was recently offered 2 Kevin Harlans and a Marv Albert. So, I mean, it's up there.
Yeah, yeah, and a Syracuse undergrad to be named later.
Exactly.
Since 2003, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House, The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlie's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlie's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas. But our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
Talking to Bob Costas here in the National Defense. Hey, Bob, you just donated an item for the Homes for the Troops charity auction, and our audience is mainly comprised of active duty military veterans and their families. Have you done a lot with, have you done anything with the USO, or is this a regular practice of yours?
I think it's kind of sporadic. I wish I could say I'd done something more consistently, but I've visited Walter Reed on three or four occasions. I've been involved in some fundraisers over the years or offered up, as you said, auction items. You do what you can when you're in a visible position, and especially, I think, involving sports, because sports cuts across so many demographic lines. And a lot of times, if you have an auction item, the person who buys it is thinking, this is something I can share with my kids or my grandkids, as opposed to a tangible item. If you say, well, we're going to go to the ball game, and we're going to have this experience, and we're going to meet so-and-so. So it has a kind of generational appeal. So when I'm asked if I'm able to, I try to help out, and I don't think I'm much different than a lot of other people who are in a position to pay it forward. We try to.
What did you donate?
You know, I'm not even sure this time. It's probably a ball game experience.
Yeah.
But it could have been, because we do this on multiple occasions. It could have been a book that I signed. It could have been baseballs or signed bats. It could have been something that I got a famous player to do, to make a voicemail recording, or to do a Zoom visit with a person and their family. I mean, there's so many different ways you can come about it now. But I think at the top of that list, at least in terms of what I'm able to provide, are the actual live ball game appearances, which COVID cut into.
Right.
But in the past, we used to arrange for people to come to the World Series and hang around, or the NBA Finals, or whatever it might have been.
That is so cool. And just to kind of underscore what you're talking about, Bob, sports cutting across all these different backgrounds, we're going to have Brenda Warner on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And a new movie coming out with about Kurt Warner.
Yes.
And I think it's Dennis Quaid plays Dick Vermeil in the movie. But Brenda served in the military for 5 years when they were struggling. Have you ever heard a more rags-to-riches story as that?
You know, I'd have to think about it, but I think it could only be a tie. I don't think anything could exceed it. I mean, in addition to her being in the military, Kurt was literally stocking shelves at a grocery store or some of the equivalent of a Walmart somewhere in Iowa. Then he plays in the Arena League. He's barely making the team with the Cardinals when they were the Rams in St. Louis. And then Trent Green gets hurt. And the thought is, as the season's about to begin, the thought is, oh, my gosh, the season's lost. Trent Green is hurt. This guy we've never heard of. He's never been tested under fire. This is our guy. and he becomes a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Goes to three Super Bowls, wins the first one, and the two that first the Rams and then the Arizona Cardinals lost, they lost right at the end. You know, so he could have had three Super Bowl championships, and he was the quarterback of one of the most memorable teams in NFL history, that greatest show on turf, St. Louis Rams
team. Yeah, right.
Plus, he's just a wonderful guy. You want to talk about a guy who kind of walks the walk?
Right.
He did so many things, and I'm sure he continues to do it, but in St. Louis, since I was living there at the time, I was more aware of it. He did a lot of things. Some were publicized because they were of a fundraising nature or
right.
public appearances, but the real measure was you'd hear these stories just told by parents of kids who were in the hospital and that he went to visit with no fanfare,
right.
no publicity. He's just a genuinely good man.
Yeah, which is totally opposite for Trent Green, who hates people.
Oh, yeah, Trent's a terrible dude.
So, you know, it's so funny, Bob. We're based here in Kansas City, like I mentioned, and you talk about the trading card phenomenon, and I'm sure you've heard about the couple who started collecting Patrick Mahomes cards when he was in maybe even high school, and now it's worth millions and millions of dollars. Well, I had that thought for my two daughters. I thought, okay, I'm going to identify the next superstar, and I'm going to get that rookie card, and that's going to be their inheritance. So I settled on Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
I can't get anybody to even take that card now.
Well, you know, the luck of the draw wasn't so kind to him.
Right. Hey, what do you enjoy more? You're a great writer. You're a great interviewer. What do you like doing best?
Well, I do like long-form programming. That's what Later was
yes.
in the 80s and 90s. And
well, great show, by the way.
Thank you.
I love that show.
Thank you. And, you know, it's had a second life now with YouTube. There are hundreds
yes.
of Laters knocking around on YouTube, which I found out when people started to text me and say, hey, I just saw you with Dennis Hopper. And I'm thinking, gee, hasn't Dennis Hopper been gone for a while? What was this, a seance of some kind? And then I had to I interviewed him on Later in 1990 or something.
I just watched your Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, man, was that a great interview.
Thank you. Thank you. And what's gratifying is that most of them seem to hold up pretty well.
Yes.
Whatever years later, and there's an appreciative audience for it still. So that's something that I can take some pride in. And what I'm doing now at HBO, even though it's sports centric, it still has some of the same elements, in addition to others. So there are long-form interviews, there are panel discussions, some of it's biographical depending upon the guest, some of it's more issue-oriented depending upon who it is, and then it ends with me doing an extended commentary of some kind, and HBO gives you the room. So I've done four of them so far, and I think the essays have ranged in length from 4 minutes to 6 minutes, and that's a lot of time on TV.
Yeah, it really is, and that's why I appreciate those kind of interviews so much, because you get to the meat of the person. Which is really nice. And in the case of Paul McCartney, you're just so unflappable. I mean, you're talking to Paul McCartney, and there's barely a reaction from you. Has there ever been a case where you were flapped?
You know, before I answer that, with regard to McCartney, if I appeared calm and cool, that belied how fast my heart was beating. You know, everything at any... part of what put me at ease was the fact that he's such a nice guy.
Mm.
You know, he's Paul McCartney, but
right.
he doesn't carry himself with an air of, you know, I'm one of the most famous people who's ever lived.
Right.
You know, he's a down-to-earth guy, very, very nice. He committed to do it, and therefore he was engaged. It was a different thing in 1991. Now Paul McCartney and others, someone like Bruce Springsteen, you see him all the time being
right.
interviewed. Paul had not been interviewed on American television in any context in a decade at the time that he sat down to do this.
Oh, wow.
And like a lot of people in show business, musicians, whatever, they stay up late, they keep odd hours, and Later aired at 1:30 Eastern Time, 12:30 Central. But a lot of ball players and entertainers were regular viewers, and he had seen other musicians on it, and he wanted to do it because he knew that it wasn't going to be a soundbite thing and that we'd come well prepared. And, you know, I'm sure this is true of you, Randy. All of us... the stuff that really grabbed us when we were kids is more impactful.
Oh yeah.
If you're a a Kansas City Royal fan now.
Right.
Or even, let's say, a Kansas City Chief fan. If you're a Kansas City Chief fan of a certain age, meeting Len Dawson would have a different effect on you than meeting Patrick Mahomes.
Right, right. That is absolutely true.
Sure it is. And it's no disrespect to Patrick Mahomes. So I was 11 years old when Paul McCartney and the Beatles premiered on the Ed Sullivan Show, and I can still remember sitting on the carpet in the living room with my parents and my sister watching them on a black and white TV, and this was when the entire nation could be focused on a single thing. Everybody watched Ed Sullivan Show that night. So what I'm thinking is, as I sit down with Paul McCartney, a bunch of people I went to grade school and high school with who I haven't seen in years are going to see this, and they're going to say, there's Bobby Costas talking to Paul McCartney. And I better not mess this up, but Paul put me at ease almost right away. So, you know, it's like sometimes athletes say, I was really nervous at the Super Bowl or the World Series, but after the first ball was hit to me or after the first tackle, then it just became another game.
Right.
I wouldn't say it was just another interview, but after the first few minutes, you're doing your job.
It is so true of people of a certain era. It's like I asked Joe Poe about his baseball book. I said, can I guess who number one is? And he said, was it the great Buddy Biancolana? And he said, no. He said, unfortunately, Buddy, he's going to have a separate book for Buddy. So,
you know, actually, Buddy and I are connected, though I haven't seen or spoken to him in a very long time. Tony Kubek and I did the 1985 ALCS. And at that time, David Letterman, who's a baseball fan,
sure,
David had just adopted Buddy Biancolana.
Right, right.
At another time, he adopted Terry Forster, very good left-handed relief pitcher, who was not exactly in Peloton shape, let's put it that way. And David kept referring to Terry as a big fat tub of goo. But eventually, Terry came on the show in good nature.
Right.
So now the next player he adopts is Buddy Biancolana. And at that time, Pete Rose was pursuing Ty Cobb.
Right.
The all-time hit record. So David had a hit meter showing Rose how close he was to Cobb, and then Buddy Biancolana, who at that point had like 92 career hits or some such thing. So early on in the LCS, I pick up on this, and I'm talking about how he's David Letterman's favorite player, blah, blah, blah. And then he had a couple of really big hits against the Blue Jays. You know, and so it became kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing. And David was talking about it, and he was replaying the calls of Buddy Biancolana's hits. And so Buddy and I were in touch for a couple of years after that, but we lost touch since.
Did he ever try to sell you magnets?
No, he never did.
Yeah, I had
Was that his post-career deal?
Yeah, I went to Royals Dream Week when I was 30 and again when I was 40, and Buddy was there, and he was talking to me about the quality of life you could have with magnets. And he said, would you like to come up to the room? I've got magnets on the bed, and my wife and I would like to just show you the magnets. And I said, I want to get away from you, Buddy. So it was just...
Yikes.
Yeah. So, did you ever see the Charles Grodin show?
Oh, yeah.
You strike me as a guy who enjoyed that show. I loved that show.
I was on the show. I was
guest
once on the show.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I loved Charles. He never broke character.
No.
He had, whether he was the guest or whether he was the host, he had that same off-center persona, and he never veered from it.
It was just always awkward.
Yes.
I mean, it could have been called Always Awkward with Charles Grodin, because you just never knew where he was coming from. And did you as a guest feel comfortable on that show?
I did, because I knew what to expect.
Right.
So I came ready to roll with it.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
Representing the largest shift in Intel's CPU design in more than 40 years, Intel Core Ultra-powered laptops bring generative AI capabilities to your device itself, instead of relying heavily on the cloud. This makes it more personalized, as it's analyzing your data. Plus, it's faster and more secure. Laptops with the Ultra Core badge means it doesn't just have a CPU for computational work, and often a GPU for rendering graphics, but now an NPU, or Neural Processing Unit, for handling AI tasks. Imagine asking your laptop, show me the email where I was promised a raise, or where are my wedding photos? In other words, you'll be able to get more done in less time with Intel Core Ultra. Plus, it's billed as Intel's most power-efficient processor, as it consumes less electricity and extends battery life significantly. More info is at intel.com/coreultra.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Cascade Curations in downtown Reading is a unique destination location. Cascade Curations is a vibrant hub celebrating the creativity and talent of local artists, musicians, and designers. Clothing racks are stocked with upcycled and upscale thrift, as well as new clothing unlike anywhere else. Whether you're seeking beautiful artwork to adorn your home, new music to inspire you, or musical instruments and gear to play, Cascade Curations is a must-visit spot to immerse yourself in Reading's thriving arts and culture scene, located in the Foundry Square next to the
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
We're talking to Bob Costas here in the National Defense, and you've been a part, front row seat to so many fantastic moments. And in the book, I Was There, you talk about the opening ceremony at the 88 Olympics, right?
You're talking about the Ali one?
Yes.
That's 96 in Atlanta.
96 in Atlanta. Can you kind of take us back to that moment?
Well, there's always talk about who's going to be the last torchbearer, take the torch and, in effect, light the cauldron, which burns during the entire Olympic Games. And there was a lot of speculation. Who might it be? What athlete associated with Atlanta? Hank Aaron? Well, yeah, but baseball's not really, especially at that time, an Olympic sport. He's not associated with the Olympics. Evander Holyfield, heavyweight champion of the world, right, from Atlanta. You know, who might it be? And Dick Ebersol, who ran NBC Sports, suggested to the Olympic organizers that it be Ali. And in the lead-up, this is mid-90s, some of the response was pushback. It was like, well, he may be a hero in some parts of the country. But down here in the South, to many of us, he's still a draft dodger.
Mm.
And Dick said, no, you don't understand. This has changed now. The view has changed. It was a different time, and, you know, he stood for what he believed. He paid the price. People will be receptive to this. So Dick convinced them. But then the next thing was, how do they stage it? Now, this was 20 years before Muhammad died, but he was still, even at that point, it was the early stages of Parkinson's, mm-hmm. but he was impaired to a noticeable extent. So about a dozen people even knew, Randy, that it was going to be Muhammad, and I was not among them. They rehearsed it one time at 3 o'clock in the morning with nobody in the stadium.
Wow.
So Dick Enberg and I are hosting the opening ceremony. And a day or two before, Dick Ebersol says, I'm not going to tell you who it is. You will recognize him or her the instant you see him or her. That's how he put it. But I want your reaction to be as spontaneous as the people in the stadium. So we're racking our brains thinking
wow.
who it might be. And Muhammad Ali just never occurred to us, even though he does have an Olympic background. He won a gold medal in 1960 in Rome. It just never crossed my mind. So now Janet Evans, a great Olympic swimmer, is the second-to-last torchbearer. And she's the one who has to climb the steep flight of stairs all the way up to the top. And so she's got it. And then the way they staged it, Muhammad stepped literally out of the shadows to accept the torch from Janet Evans on the platform. And when he stepped out, it took 2 or 3 seconds for it to really sink in to the crowd in the stadium. So there was silence, and then there were even some audible gasps, and then it gave way to this long, sustained ovation and cheering. And in that moment, everything kind of came together. Yeah, there were people who did not like Muhammad Ali for a variety of reasons. He was a polarizing figure in the 60s and 70s. But over time, again for a variety of reasons, people who always admired him, and I would count myself among them, saw that admiration grow. Others who had opposed him made their peace with him, and they could see his basic decency as a person. He was always very charismatic and entertaining. At the same time, it was poignant because here was a man who once was the most beautiful and most nimble of athletes,
right.
already beginning with the tremors and the shaking and very much compromised, and also one of the most voluble and entertaining, you know, the words just flowed from him, and even then he was compromised in terms of what he could say. So in a sense, he was silenced. But his presence in that moment was as profound and moving as anything he had ever said in his interviews with Howard Cosell or on The Tonight Show or whatever it might have been. And I think to some extent, all of those things, the long arc of his life, the fact that he had gone from the most vital and vibrant of athletes to his present state in 1996, all those elements came together and everybody more or less understood all the same things at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
And you rarely get that. It gives me goosebumps even now as I talk about it. And it was a moment of reconciliation. And Muhammad himself said, he stuck around for the Olympics and he visited with some of the athletes in the ensuing days. And he told us at NBC that it felt like, these are his words, that he had been born again.
Hmm.
And so then at the end of the Olympics, so we had like 2.5 weeks from the opening ceremony to the end, on either the last day or the second to last day, NBC produced an hour-long story of Muhammad's life, most of it as it connected to the Olympics, culminating in that moment. And the title of that segment was Twice Born.
Wow. Yeah.
Sorry for the long story.
No,
you asked.
Listen, hey, it gives me goosebumps too, and I remember that moment as so many people do. And I think the other part of that, Bob, was the fact that before the Olympics, we hadn't seen Muhammad Ali in a while.
Yeah.
And I think that when he stood up there with that torch, I think everybody at the same moment realized one thing, that was greatness. That was just the epitome of greatness. Well, we have a regular segment on this program, Bob, called Got Your Six. It's six rapid-fire questions for Bob Costas. You ready?
Okay, yep.
Who is the smartest person you've ever interviewed?
The smartest person I've ever interviewed. George Will is pretty darn smart. That'll do until I think of something else.
You worked for the legendary KMOX in St. Louis. You called Missouri Basketball. Mm-hmm. Have you ever eaten gooey butter cake?
Yeah, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, I like it. Desserts, but if they're really super sweet, like even as a kid, I didn't want a Twinkie. Right. You know, it's just too damn sweet.
You graduated from Syracuse University. What is the name of their mascot?
Otto the Orange.
Yes! You're like the first person who has answered a question like that correctly. And this is a bad one, but what is the toughest interview that you can think of that you've done?
Well, people think the ones that are contentious.
Well, like the Howard Stern one certainly comes to mind.
I never interviewed Howard Stern.
No,
Tom Snyder interviewed him, filling in for me. I think it was at the Olympics or something, and Tom Snyder filled in for me on later, and that really was contentious. But not that one. You know, people think the Sandusky interview, like 10 years ago. It's almost exactly 10 years ago now. Or they think of the one with Vince McMahon, which is almost exactly 20 years ago now. Oh. I think once a decade, I have one like that. But really, the ones that are the most difficult are the ones in which the subject is not forthcoming.
Yes.
Where they their answers are uninteresting or monosyllabic. And one example of that, and maybe lost on some of your audience because it goes way back, the actor Jack Palance.
Oh, sure.
Who had been in a lot of big movies, but he kind of was introduced to a younger audience in the 1990s when he played the trail boss in Billy Crystal's movie City Slickers. And he came on later and didn't realize that it was a long-form interview. He thought it was like 5 minutes, and it was 22 minutes is how long a 30-minute TV show is, absent hello, goodbye, and the commercials. And those 22 minutes usually would fly by. Man, it was like 22 minutes in a dentist chair.
I'm bigger than you.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And in fact, at one point, I said to him, you know, we got like 5 minutes in, and this is, oh my gosh, this is a disaster. And I said to him, you know, Jack, I'm beginning to feel like Billy Crystal's character in City Slickers. You crap bigger than me, don't you? And he goes, this is the exact answer. Oh, Bob, I would crap on you. Perhaps I'd crap on some of your questions, but not on you.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a relief.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It was awful.
All right, Bob, you're known as Rapping Roberto in New York.
Yeah.
Can you rap?
Well, I don't know if I can rap, but I have been name-checked in many hip-hop songs, at least a half dozen that I'm aware of.
Really?
Costas must rhyme with something or other. You know, it's like the guys whose names show up in crossword puzzles just because the two S's maybe among six letters helps them get across or down or whatever it is. So the best-known one is from Ludacris some 20-plus years ago, and the lyric that I mentioned in says, I be rolling torpedoes, get blunted with Rostis, and for a hefty fee I'm on your record, like Bob Costas. I don't think he says it quite that way,
but that's
me rendering ludicrous.
And a final question for Bob Costas, what is the best cure for pink eye?
Time. You know, when it happened, and allow me to assure your audience that they're losing sleep over this, none of the causes of this that have been suggested on gossip sheets or in the internet,
or by my producer.
Right, have a scintilla of truth, not a thimble's worth of truth, okay? It was not generic pink eye, it was viral conjunctivitis, the whole deal. You know, could have been from anything. Could have been from a contact lens or on the flight somebody sneezes on the way from New York to Moscow or wherever the hell I flew into, Sochi. Who knows what the hell it is? Okay, but in any case, when the doctors at the International Broadcast Center examined me, at first they think it's a bacterial thing, and they give me some antibiotics, and they say it'll be gone in 3 days. Then when it jumps from the left eye to the right, boop, oh, no, not pink eye, it's viral conjunctivitis. We withdraw the original diagnosis. This will be gone in 2 to 3 weeks. And I say that is the exact length of the Olympic Games. So yes, it came on the day before the opening ceremony.
Wow.
And by the time I got off the plane back in New York, it was 90% gone. And a week later, it was 100% gone.
Oh, my gosh. You're so fantastic, Bob. Thank you so much for the time. It's such an honor to have you on the program. I've been a huge fan for many, many years, and you just do a tremendous job. Best of luck with the new HBO show. It's a form of television that is not even out there anywhere. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Randy. I really enjoyed it. Happy holidays.
You too. Thank you so much. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Hello, Detroit. It's the Ford Motor Company. This city has changed a lot over the last century. So has America. And we wouldn't have been around for this long if we didn't turn that change into progress. We've pledged to make our most iconic vehicles electric, to provide access to North America's largest public charging network, to use 100% renewable energy across all global manufacturing plants by 2035. And we couldn't have done it without the thousands of Detroiters working with us to turn progress into a reality. We're proud to be built for America. We're even prouder to be built by Detroit. And though we've helped give the Motor City its name, the Motor City has given us our legacy. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford proud.
Based on IHS Market CYE 2019 U.S. light vehicle production data. Based on original equipment manufacturers, automotive manufacturers that sell all electric vehicles and have publicly announced charging networks. Department of Energy data used. Ford Pass compatible with select smartphone platforms is available via download. Message data rates may apply.
Changing one thing can change everything. Like when you go to HomeDepot.com and upgrade your vanity, it upgrades your entire bath. Right now, get up to 40% off select online vanities. Stunning styles and great savings lead to a fantastic new bath. Plus, get free delivery on all online faucets and vanities. Change one thing and change everything beautifully. With up to 40% off select online vanities at the Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Hey, you know, as a veteran, you know the importance of staying connected to friends and family. And that's why you choose T-Mobile. They offer active duty military and veterans exclusive discounts like 40% off family lines. I mean, 40% off. That's huge. And the price you see is the price you pay with taxes and fees included. Plus, T-Mobile puts service members and military spouses first with employment initiatives and ongoing community investments. Visit T-Mobile.com/military-discounts to learn more. 40% off additional price for military family lines 2 to 6 versus Go 5G with auto pay discount. Verify military service within 45 days or pay up to $20 more per line per month. Sales tax and regulatory fees included in monthly rate plan price. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Come celebrate the 40th anniversary of the veteran-owned sandwichery at 1341 Tehama Street in downtown Reading. This mom-and-pop restaurant has been serving up delicious, quick, and fresh, made-to-order sandwiches with generous portions at a great price for 40 years. Enjoy a club sandwich, pastrami corned beef, a Californian with turkey, avocado, and cheese, an egg salad sandwich, roast beef, chicken salad, and I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. They also have vegetarian sandwiches and much more. Plus, hot dogs and homemade soups, potato salad, and big bakery-style cookies. Sandwichery is also a destination featuring unique World War II decor with inside dining and outside shaded patio seating. Sandwichery, celebrating their 40th anniversary this July. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 2 at 1341 Tehama Street in downtown Reading. Sandwichery, dine in or take out. Call 530-246-2020. That's 530-246-2020.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal DiMercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
I mean, kind of describe your job in the military, if you will.
Well, Army Airborne pretty much sums it up. I was an infantry soldier that jumped out of planes with a machine gun. And out of a desire to look for more adventure and challenge myself further, I went and did selection for the Navy clearance divers. That's a very multifaceted job. We do everything from underwater bomb disposal to land-based EOD to maritime tactical operations, underwater battle damage repair. You know, the American services have so many people that they can specialize, but we're just a very small country. There's probably only 400 clearance divers, and so we have to be able to do everything.
And so to compare that, it would probably be the Americanized version of the Navy SEAL. Is that correct?
It'd be close. It's probably the most similar thing between that and Navy EOD.
Okay. Which by the way, I mean, both jobs are incredibly dangerous and many incredibly dangerous missions. And yeah, I know you lost part of an arm and a leg, but it didn't have anything to do with your military experience. It was to a shark.
Yeah, well, I was actually at work doing a counterterrorism exercise, so it was part of my service. But pretty average way to start the day, getting eaten for breakfast before you've even had breakfast.
We're talking to Paul DeGelder here in the National Defense at Shark Week on Discovery Channel. And I love the way that you talk about this in your when you do these presentations. It took about, what, 8 seconds?
Yeah. It's actually on YouTube. You can watch me getting eaten on the computer.
Who's filming this?
It was part of the exercise that we were doing. The unmanned video and sonar equipment was recording it.
Oh, wow. Wow. And so I guess you lost consciousness, and one of your buddies in the training comes over and realizes you're going into cardiac arrest, and he starts thumping your chest and brings you back, and you wake up, as you tell it, and your hand is gone, and this guy's beating the crap out of you, and you go, this is not a good day.
Yeah, no, that was a really bad day at work. You know, when people complain to me about bad days at work, I'm like, yeah, but did you get eaten?
Right. Well, and the thing about it, though, Paul, and we talk to people all the time that have had injury, whether it's service-related or not, and it's so easy to, once something like that happens to you and you realize that you're not indestructible, something, you know, a lot of people kind of go into a shell and they say, my life is not going to matter for, you know, I don't have to do anything else. I'm just going to crawl into myself and never come out. And did you go through any kind of a situation like that in your mind?
No, I didn't really allow myself to do it because I knew there is a slippery slope to depression and PTSD and things like that. And I just think as military people, we're built better. We're built stronger than that. And so I really just fell back on my training. And actually, you know, one of the things I did use as a motivator was my fear that I was going to lose my career. And, you know, fear can be a very powerful motivator. I didn't achieve much before I was in the military, and I was terrified of becoming that person again. And so I used that fear that I was going to lose my career to propel me, to make me get up early, to make me go to the gym and work out, and make me learn how to use my body and build it back strong again so I could go back to work. And I managed to pull that off in 6 months, and I went back to full-time Navy service at the dive school.
Wow.
We're talking to Paul DeGelder here in the National Defense, Navy bomb disposal diver, shark attack survivor, TV host, actor, author, speaker. I mean, you know, that motivation to go back and do your job is one thing. But what made you then want to go and be around sharks again?
In two ways. I saw it, one, as an opportunity to overcome this fear. You know, my two biggest fears in life were sharks and public speaking. And now I'm literally a shark diving public speaker. But also, working at the Navy Dive School for a couple of years, I realized that I actually really hate teaching people to do the thing that I love to do without ever getting to do it myself. And so towards the end of those years at the dive school, I was looking for something else, but I really wasn't trained to do anything except shoot people and blow stuff up. And so it's not a lot of call for a one-legged, one-handed bomb disposal diver in the real world. And so when Shark Week came along and offered me a chance to be on a TV show, I jumped at it as an opportunity to give me something outside of the military to latch onto and maybe build a career out of it. And I did that, and I'm just so glad that I can be on Discovery Channel and teach people about these incredible animals.
These incredible animals that ate part of me. What do we need to know about sharks, Paul? That we just don't automatically know.
They're so individual, even amongst the species. You know, there's over 500 species of shark. And you always talk about the big ones, the great whites, the hammerheads, the tigers, the bulls. And I spent a lot of time in the ocean with those species. And they're such individual creatures. They have different emotions, different personalities. They look different. You can tell them by their different facial features and things like that. And once you have the opportunity to spend time in their environment with them, like coexisting peacefully, it changes you forever.
I mean, I saw the video of you in the water, surrounded by sharks. You're feeding them. You're patting them. I mean, do you think sharks, this is probably a dumb question, but do you think sharks look at you differently than they look at other people?
I think that you can, over time, build up relationships with sharks. I know people that have been diving the Bahamas for decades, and they know these sharks individually, and they do have a relationship with individual sharks. I don't think they look at me differently. I think that one of the greatest things I was taught was don't act like food, and they won't treat you like food. So they'll look at me differently. Be confident and acting as a big bad predator like them, as opposed to someone that's skittish and scared. Like Mike Tyson when I taught him and he was terrified.
Oh, really? You worked with Mike Tyson?
Yeah, I got to take him and teach him how to dive with sharks for one of the shows.
I can't imagine Mike Tyson around sharks. I would be afraid for the shark.
We were afraid for everyone.
Yeah, I'll bet. And so did you and Mike Tyson form a friendship after that?
We did. He's such a nice guy. I got to get him past that initial fear. He did a lot of throwing up in the lead up to that, though, which was kind of gross. But, he learned an appreciation for me. He got to see them one-on-one, safe. He did grab a couple, which was pretty scary. But that's Mike Tyson.
Well, and Paul, the worst would have been you lose an arm and a leg to a shark and part of an ear to Mike Tyson.
Yeah, fortunately, that didn't happen. He was a great guy. We had a really fun time hanging out together. He had his son with him as well, and he's such a great dad. And his son loves animals just as much. So, so many adventures over the years with Shark Week. This year, I went back to the scene of the crime. I went diving and looking for bull sharks in Sydney Harbour. I was free diving 300 feet away from an active underwater volcano while it was erupting, hand-feeding tigers and great hammerheads, And that's just my shows. And then you've got all my mates that are doing shows as well all around the planet. It's just such a great week.
Shark Week on Discovery Channel, Sunday, July 7th to Saturday, July 13th. Paul, you're so inspirational, but you're also crazy. We respect both of those. Thank you so much for your service, and thanks for the time.
My pleasure, mate. Cheers.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training effect.
Promises to one's community.
Helping people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.